Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music.
பூமி மெச்சிடும் அண்ணாமலை கோர்த்துண்ணையானவன் மயில் வாதவன் குருகானவன் பூமி மெச்சிடும் அண்ணாமலை கோர்த்துணையானவன் மயில் வானவன் குருகானவன் என புலத்தை காக்கும் வள்ளி தனத்தை பார்க்க மெல்ல போனவன் மெல்ல போனவன் என புலத்தை காக்கும் வள்ளி தனத்தை பார்க்க மெல்ல
Once again, the unique sounds of Indian music fill the airwaves on Crossover this week. We've just heard Kavadi Chindu, a folk song sung by Soumya. It's a composition actually based on folk music. These are usually songs that feature love or devotion to the local deity, and they are meant for singing while the pilgrims take a decorated pole of wood with offerings to temples atop the hills. The songs are meant to alleviate and enthuse the weary pilgrims on their journey, and they feature what is called assonance, alliteration, and rhythm as they sway to the music and carry the idol up to the hill temples. And this genre was absorbed into the classical framework and has been featured in the tail end of classical music concerts for several decades. Today, Raji Venkatizan, president of Saruti, the India Music and Dance Society, joins writer and performer Kiranavali Vidyasankar and Swarthmore professor Stephen Hopkins to discuss the influence and integration of folk music with Indian classical music. Saruti will present a concert, The Sounds of India, on November 10th at Montgomery County Community College. Welcome to all of you. Raji, tell us a little bit, tell the audience about what Shruti is actually.
Shruti is a premier presenting organization. The principal mission of Shruti is to promote and present Indian classical music and dance in the greater Philadelphia area, as well as educate the community at large in Indian arts. And in fact, we just celebrated our 25th anniversary last year when we were on your show earlier.
Yes.
26 years ago, when artists from India visited the U.S., they used to come to Washington, D.C., bypass Philadelphia and go on to New York City because there weren't many presenting organizations then who presented Indian classical music. And some passionate members of the community got together and formed this organization. We continue to stay volunteer-run. We enjoy support from mainstream funding organizations, the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage, Dance Advance, Sam Fels, Philadelphia Cultural Alliance, to name a few. And with all of their support and the passionate membership, we have been able to present some of the foremost artists of Indian classical music.
And one, I think some of the most intriguing and magnificent performances. Would you say that there's a larger population in this general area than there was 20 years ago?
Absolutely. We are seeing our audience grow each year. We are seeing a very diverse group of people come and attend the concerts. Indian music, by large, is in good global circulation right now, and there's a lot of interest. It's very motivating for us to see about 300 to 400 people at some of the concerts.
Well, of course it is. And to speak to that, we have another guest today, Stephen Hopkins. He's a professor at Swarthmore College, whose interest in Hinduism and religion, or I guess religious fervor probably, has taken him to...
They call it love.
Love.
Yes.
That's a universal.
Oh, Hindu bhakti, but love, yes.
Okay. And you are, of course, have traveled to India, and you are intrigued with the Carnatic music, which is the music of the South. Is that right?
That's right. The South of India, right. And the states currently are Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu. The form began around the 14th century in courtly context, the Vijayanagar Empire, and flourished 16th, 17th, all the way through to the 19th century, developed in courtly settings. But it's a wonder. It's a refined art of a lot of elegance, but also, as Shruti has been focusing on in this particular performance of S. Soumya, it has folk elements too, the elements of everyday song, particularly in women's songs. And so it's an art that integrates a variety of levels of production.
So it's extremely intricate, I think, and certainly for the Western ear, it's kind of difficult to understand. And to help us, we have a musician here, a teacher, writer, and performer in the Philadelphia area, Kiranavali Vidyasankar. Welcome to Crossover. Tell us a little bit, as a musician, when did you start?
Well, I come from a family of musicians, so it's been in the family at least for three generations now. So it's hard to tell in such situations when you actually start, because you start from when you are aware of your surroundings. So.
Well, I think that happens generally, even in Western music, but there's a lot to learn, isn't there, as there is in Western music. You have to learn scales and so on, and harmony and so on. And, but with Indian music, again, we have to educate our audience in a sense so that they can fully appreciate what's involved. So you have... I still don't understand the raga, which you might want to explain.
Yeah, we actually have a three-pronged system where we focus on the melody, which can be loosely called raga. And then we have the rhythm, which is expressed. And this rhythm that's not expressed, the expressed rhythm is through hand gestures called tala. So we actually show the rhythm through our hands.
Now, if you're a musician, how do you do that? I mean,
so
as a dancer,
have,
like, I could see.
We have beats, we have wave of the hand, we actually have finger counts. So we do things like that, and they all combine to form what is called tala. And we have a whole variety of talas. So just to give you a rough idea of the basic talas we have 35 at this point. And then within that, we have so many more levels of rhythmic patterns.
And then, now, is the tala the musical sound, or is it the beat?
Tala is the beat. The tala is the expressed rhythm through hand gestures. But we also have rhythm through percussion, right? So that's expressed in a different way.
Yes,
and then we have rhythm that's not expressed specifically, but you can still feel it when you hear it.
Kind of like jazz,
I guess,
in a way.
Yeah.
In classical music, it's quite defined, but in jazz and improvisation, it isn't so.
It's just felt, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right?
And Steve, you were saying that John Coltrane was very influenced by Indian music. Is that right?
Well, for my students at Swarthmore, I often play what's known as virutams, or temple music that has a melody and long improvisations in the Carnatic style. And for students to gain an understanding, often they know more about jazz than they do about South Indian music. And so, yeah, again, like listening to something like Coltrane's Love Supreme or a piece called Love from First Meditations, you have a kind of a core melody that's the piece itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Coltrane takes that melody and weaves it. And he was influenced. Him and Alice Coltrane were influenced by Indian music in this way. So there's that elastic rhythm between working with the melody, coming back to the melody, and reaching out in what's called alapana or alap in Indian music, of long, intricate, rhythmic and exciting improvisations that a singer will do. Come back to that melody, and everyone just goes, is waiting for this.
For that to come back,
until
they recognize it.
And the greatness of the artist really is how,
this
wonderful set of variations that the audience is expecting, and the surprise in the art of coming back to the melody.
Thank you.
We just heard the Ragam Anan Dabhai Ravi. The artist Ravi Kiran is playing a Chitravina. The Chitravina may perhaps be one of the oldest slide instruments in the world. It is fretless with melody strings, rhythm strings, and resonance strings, and is played with a plectrum. That means it's plucked. It generates an all-enveloping richness of sound, playing a Carnatic melody. This clip features an elaboration of raga, presenting the basic motifs and played without a rhythmic pulse. This is usually followed by an interpretive rendering of a composition set to the same melody and a rhythm.
Also in the audience participation, your listeners might, when they come to Soumya's concert,
they recognize it when you're coming back to it.
You'll see people counting the talas with their hands and sometimes calling out. Concerts in India are tremendously, there's a back and forth between the audience and the performer.
Yeah, but what you're saying is exactly what happens in, not in classical music, but in jazz. You hear that. You have, they do a riff and then they go on and on and on. And then they finally, we're back to the melody. Now, Beethoven and Mozart did it too, but it's much stricter. But certainly jazz is a perfect example. However, it's different. That's what we're trying to define here. The tonality. And that's what I still don't understand, because I was at one time explained what a raga is. A raga is a theme, isn't it? Is it a specific theme?
Raga is actually, it's to create a mood using a set of notes.
Well, the set of notes is what?
You can call it a scale. So in our music, we call it arohanam, avrohanam. It just defines what notes are allowed on the way up and what notes are allowed on the way down.
So it's tonality,
but,
though.
Yeah, but using these notes, we also have what we call gamakas, that's basically ornamentations, and that kind of gives the raga, the scale, flesh. So then you have to infuse life into it and create a form.
Sounds just like regular Western music. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But it is a totally different concept.
Yeah. The ornamentations actually play a big part in how the creation comes out.
Well, again, as in classical and jazz, the ornamentation. I mean, you have a scale or you have a chord and you play with that chord, you extend it, you diminish it, you change the rhythm of it. That's the brilliance of improvisation. But again, I think it's the ear that has to become accustomed to the tonality. That's, I think, what is different from Western music. I mean, we recognize it. Oh, and even in jazz, people say, I don't understand what he's doing, but it's great. And then they recognize coming back to home. Mm-hmm. But in Indian music, we don't recognize that at all.
Yeah.
Because I think you have to grow up with it or study it intently. And and although I have to say, when I saw your concert last, you had some marvelous people performing Raji. Who were the artists? They were
Ustad Amjad Ali Khan on the sarod with his sons.
Yes.
Last Labor Day weekend.
So the instruments are?
The sarod.
Which is?
Which is a stringed North Indian instrument.
Does it have a very long neck?
No, that is the sitar, I believe, that you're thinking of.
Right.
The sarod is shorter.
It's fretless.
It has no frets.
It has no frets.
And there was a percussion instrument, the tabla, which is a typical Hindustani.
Which is unbelievable, which is usually has these long, extended improvisations, which are phenomenal.
Right. And actually, the concert that we're talking about right now is a Carnatic music concert. And it features Soumya, a very gifted musician and a senior musician, as well as Bharat Sundar. He represents the upcoming generation of musicians who realize the importance of being a torchbearer of this ancient tradition. And Soumya brings a strong background of the history of Indian music to her performance. She has a wide repertoire of folk, classical folk songs, as well as classical songs. And they are going to be accompanied by two violinists, as well as two percussionists, two mridangas, and an additional percussion instrument of the kanjira.
Which is
of a percussion instrument of the tambourine family.
Yeah, it looks like a tambourine.
Mm-hmm. Like a tambourine, okay.
Yeah. And this will aid in giving some of the folk touches to the overall concert. And like we spoke a little bit earlier, the Carnatic music experience is very different in that it's not a staged performance. Mm-hmm. The audience becomes one with the artists when it's really a good concert. And the music has a lot of scholarship and it has soul emotion as well. Mm-hmm.
We've just heard a violin rendition of a Carnatic composition, Krupa Jukutaku, performed by violinist Shiram Kumar. Traditionally a Western instrument, of course, the violin has become an integral part of a Carnatic concert. The Carnatic violinist sits cross-legged and braces the instrument between the chest and the scroll rests on the right ankle. The Carnatic adaptation of the violin has moved from the discrete fingered notes to a slide-based style, which allows the performer to produce the sophisticated oscillation, slides, deflections, and fingered stresses needed for melodic music. The violin provides the melodic accompaniment for a vocal concert. Here, the violin featured in a solo concert is accompanied by percussion support. The song is situated in a lilting melody with crisscross movements of notes and characterized by brisk movement. What about someone who doesn't know the first thing about Indian music? How do you think they would receive the concert?
The things they can look forward to is firstly the fact that we don't have a concept like chords. So we have a set pitch. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing they might notice, mm-hmm. That all the instruments are tuned to that pitch. So if Soumya sings, her pitch is at G.
Yeah.
So all the instruments will be tuned to that pitch.
Well, like our A in the orchestral.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you tune that, but then you play other notes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The other aspect, too, I think we were mentioning before, is there's no harmony.
Yeah.
The music is not based upon harmony,
on
right?
Yes.
And so the thing to get used to is, there'll be that bass note, everyone's tuned to a certain note.
And you'll hear it the whole time.
Constantly.
All the time.
So it's like a repetitive drone.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a drone. So
that's interesting.
There's an instrument now we have, it's called the tambura, but now we have an electronic version of it. So
okay.
You'll hear it the whole time.
I'm getting vibes of the Beatles. I can see why. I can just see why they were so taken with Indian. Now, were they taken with the Southern Indian
music? I'm not sure. Ravi Shankar himself was taken in by Carnatic music.
Yes.
So again, so it's called Carnatic music, and it is essentially religious. Is that right?
I would say religious. I would say a majority of it reflects religious devotion, but we also have other sentiments like romance or, say, praising a patron of the art, like kings or landlords. And then
Patrons of, like Mozart had a patron. And uh-huh. all, yes, okay, right. So that would be dedicated that, to somebody yeah.
Some
who supported
the arts.
Some of
these compositions are sung regularly in concerts, so... Right.
I think the difference in art, I mean, art is universal. It doesn't matter what kind, if it's visual or if it's music. It's all the same. Mm-hmm. But the expression, that's where the difference comes. But the intent is all the same.
Yeah, the unity
don't you think?
Of
yes,
art is
exactly.
amazing.
It's,
mm-hmm.
it's really
so we,
incredible.
We have the same notes that a Western music system has. We have
yes.
the same seven notes. And
do you have the same?
It's divided into 12 within the octave.
Now, does that include the sharps, what we call
yeah,
sharps
the flats
and flats?
And the
yes.
Sharps. Yeah.
So it's the same as
yeah,
the 12
it's the same.
Tone.
Isn't that amazing?
So you
yeah,
have a 12 right. tone, and they had a whole new. Well, yeah. we went through that already in the
right.
50s, I guess. So,
yeah.
So
I,
that's.
I always marvel at how. The whole world arrived at the same division.
Yeah. You, as we say, you just said a mouthful, and I think it's the universality of art uh-huh. that is so mm-hmm. thrilling. When you are involved, you realize this is a language. I remember, I mean, I know for myself, we had musicians at some point, a lot of them came from another country abroad. They couldn't speak the language at all, but you mm-hmm. give them the music, and of course it's the Western music, mm-hmm. to read. They sat mm-hmm. down with the violin or whatever, mm-hmm. and there that was our international language.
Right.
That's why I think this is a language, but it is really extremely foreign to the Western ear. And I think mm-hmm. that's why people say, oh, well, I like it, but what's going on?
Well,
yeah. Right.
And I think that's what when we invite people to come to this wonderful concert,
mm-hmm.
We want you to feel... It's music, and mm-hmm. we're trying to give you a little insight mm-hmm. as to what to expect.
Yenakavi padinalu undal manam irangavillai. Yenakavi padinalu undal manam irangavillai. Yenakavi. பாடினாலும் உந்தல் மனம் இறங்கவில்லை என்ன கவி பாடினாலும் உந்தல் மனம் இறங்கவில்லை இன்னும் என்ன சோதனையா முருகா என்ன கவி பாடினாலும் உந்தல் மனம் இறங்கவில்லை இன்னும் என்ன சோதனையா
We've just heard Enna Kavi performed by vocalist Aruna Sairam. She's very, very well known as an eminent Carnatic vocalist, and she did receive the Padma Shri Award from the government of India. So
I was also going to mention when you were saying what to expect in the concert, when you actually see the live performance, you're going to be really amazed at the interaction between mm-hmm. the artists. and everything
yes.
is going to be like improv on stage.
Right.
There are going to be some compositions, but if the main artist chooses to present any compositions, the violin and the percussion, they join them on the spot. Mm-hmm. So they play along.
You know mm-hmm. what I remember from that last concert, it was really beautiful. There was this very great artist who was there, and when the other musicians came out, they kind of bowed in a sense mm-hmm. to give homage to this great artist, which is so mm-hmm. beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of very different from, I mean, I think we have that to some degree, but nothing like that. It's all part of the culture, which is beautiful. It's
right.
really beautiful.
Right.
Puts music on a level where it belongs. One should revere it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the tradition of revering the guru
yes.
or the teacher. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. the guru, absolutely. Right. And the master.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and that's all that. And we maybe it's just has to do with the society, but it's a beautiful thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was extremely just so impressed with the concert last. So when is it going to be now, Raji?
This concert is on November 10th at 4:30 p.m.
And where will it be?
It's going to be at the Montgomery County Community College in Bluebell. We are actually co-presenting this with the Office of Lively Arts, the Office of Cultural Affairs and Lively Arts of the Montgomery County Community College. We have worked with them in the past to bring Indian classical dance, and this is really the first time that a Carnatic music concert is being presented. And our theme that we are celebrating this fall is being funded by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage through the Philadelphia Music Project. It's the Sounds of India, Influences and Integration of Folk Melodies and Classical Music. And the theme that the Office of Cultural Affairs at Montcos having for this season is emotion and intellect. Mm-hmm. So this concert fits in beautifully into both of our themes, and we're really happy to bring this Carnatic music jointly.
Well, that's certainly,
I just mentioned here that we're at Swarthmore College, we're having an event on Thursday the 8th.
That's
from 4:30 to 6. Soumya is coming with musicians to Lang Concert Hall on the Swarthmore campus.
Yes.
It'll be an event that's for free, and it'll be advertised to the community. And she will be doing a more informal sort of lecture demonstration, talking about Carnatic music and the themes of the folk and the elite and courtly forms that merge and mingle together in this art.
And how can one find out more about that? Do you have to call Swarthmore?
You can call Swarthmore. You can call the publications office at Swarthmore, or you can get a hold of me, Stephen Hopkins, the Department of Religion at Swarthmore College.
Wonderful.
And you can also check SRUTI.org. That's Shruti's website. Mm. We actually have two appreciation sessions leading up to this concert at Monco.
I was going to ask you, because last year you had some instructional program, I think, in dance, wasn't there?
Right. And so the first is what Stephen Hopkins just mentioned, the one at Swarthmore College on November 8th. And we have a second one, which is going to be at Monco on Friday, November 9th at Montgomery County Community College in the evening from 7 to 9. We are presenting a talk by Professor Dr. Indra Peterson. She's a professor from Mount Holyoke College, mm-hmm. and talking about giving some context to this performance and talking about a South Indian opera called the Kuruvanji. Mm-hmm. And this will be followed by a presentation by Soumya herself, a lecture demonstration where she will sing some pieces from another South Indian opera called the Nandanar Charitram. So these are the two sessions that are free and are appreciation sessions that lead to the main performance on November 10th.
Is there a phone number to call?
The phone number is 267-797-7006. I can give the email address. It's srutiphila@gmail.com.
Good. And again, Stephen, if people want to go to Swarthmore?
610-328-8035 is my office number. You can contact me in the Department of Religion or through our secretary, Anita Pace, about this concert on November 8th at Lang Concert Hall, Swarthmore College campus for free. At 4:30, between 4:30 and 6.
Wonderful. And so thank you so much for your visiting us once again with your beautiful, beautiful music.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We listen now to a work performed on the bamboo flute. It's a Carnatic composition. The artist performing is Master Shashank. It's Ora Jupu in Kannada Gaula. It's on this ancient Indian instrument that has seen a long series of evolution in terms of construction and the blowing technique. Indian instruments use pure instrumental techniques, and they're also techniques which aim at reproducing nuances of the voices. You can hear that elaboration of each note, raga, on the flute. And it's followed by the accompanist on the violin and ends with an interpretive presentation of a composition. Here then, Master Shashank performing on the bamboo flute, Ora Jupu in Kannada Gaula.
Thank you.
We've just heard Ora Jupu in Kannada Gaula, a Carnatic composition performed on the bamboo flute by Master Shashank. Our guests today have been Raji Venkatesan, who is president of Sruti, Kiranavali Vidyasankar, Carnatic music teacher, writer, and performer in the Philadelphia area, and Stephen Hopkins, professor at Swarthmore College, whose interests in Hinduism and religion have taken him to India and drawn him to Carnatic music. Sruti, the Indian Music and Dance Society, celebrates this fall the Sounds of India, influences and integration of folk music with Indian classical music. As part of this theme, Sruti presents classical melodies with folk influences on November 10th at 4:30 p.m. at the Science Center Theater, Montgomery County Community College. The concert is being presented in collaboration with the Office of Cultural Affairs and Lively Arts, Montgomery County Community College. The artists include renowned Carnatic vocalist Soumya, along with Bharat Sundar, violinists, and multiple percussionists. We listen now to a vocal rendition by Sanjay. One of the characteristic features of Indian music is the use of dissonance. The dissonant note is used in compositions, not in profusion, but sensitively, and it's highlighted at certain points to create a special effect. Composers use these phrases by skipping certain notes or doubling a note and creating patterns that produce a stark effect without any detriment to the melody. A popular Carnatic composition rendered with accompaniments in one of the major ragas in Indian music features all seven notes on the ascent and descent, showcasing the clever use of dissonance by the composer. Once again, a vocal rendition by Sanjay. I'm Jill Pasternak. Thanks for joining us on this special program. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.